Hey friends, welcome to season 3 of Tulips in Tuscany.
We're so excited you're here. I'm Steffi.
Paige.
And I'm Sarah. We're excited to dive into this next season with you, and we hope our conversations provide some great insight and support as we navigate this journey through Holland.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of the Tulips in Tuscany podcast. Thanks for joining us tonight as myself, Steffi, and Sarah sit down and chit-chat about some of the resources that we found for our kiddos in our areas. Before we dive in, here's a word from our sponsors.
So I am super excited that my son and I just started working with a company called Simple Spectrum. They are one of the highest quality vitamins and minerals in the most bioavailable forms and nothing else, which is really how supplements should be. Their mission was to create the kind of nutraceutical supplement that they wanted to see available based on the latest scientific research and free from the additives packed into so many other similar products on the market. I love that they understand it's not always realistic to get your child to take multiple products in a day, which is why they created an all-in-one prebiotic. Their supplement provides the nutritional needs of the developing nervous system with extra support for individuals with autism, like my son Lane. By addressing potential dietary deficits often seen in children with autism due to picky eating habits and sensory issues. So be sure to head to the link in our podcast notes to check them out. I'm excited to hear about the different resources that are available for you girls and how much they differ from resources that I have out here for my little man. Steffi, would you say you're pretty content with the amount of resources available for Joshua out in Arizona? And can you tell us about some that come to mind?
Yeah. So, I think I've mentioned this before on a different episode, but so we came from California. So when Joshua was born, everything that we had, we went through regional center, and then private insurance for therapy. And he started his like private insurance therapy around 4 months for OT and PT. And then speech doesn't usually start until around 18 months, but regional center was kind of our first contact point there. And then we were able to get some in-home services and different things through them for Joshua. Once we moved to Arizona, it was kind of a totally different ball game. I had to learn to navigate this like whole new state and what they provide for early intervention. So actually my first contact was through Raising Special Kids, and I'm not positive how I found them. I think it was just, I searched online. I was looking for some resources and someone that could advocate for me to help me get started, because I was really confused. So Raising Special Kids is actually, I believe they're a nonprofit. And what they have, I'm going to pull up their website really quick so I can make sure I'm giving you guys the correct info, but Raising Special Kids, I contacted them via email, and then I actually kind of got assigned someone that was my point of contact. So she answered all of my questions for me. If she didn't know the answer, she found it. So it was anything related to therapies, school, anything I needed help with, she gave me resources and answers and always got back to me really quickly, which was amazing. So on their website, raisingspecialkids.org, they have programs and services, ways to get involved, different events. They also offer trainings. And then they have a whole resources page themselves that they list different resources from things like education, healthcare, behavior issues, early childhood, transitioning to adulthood, all sorts of stuff like that. So that's really cool that they, it's basically this, just this really cool resource that Arizona had. So the person that I was in contact with helped me kind of get going with applying for DDD, which was the developmental disability department, and then ALTEX, which is like long-term care in Arizona, which was kind of a big process in itself. And we got denied multiple times. So Raising Special Kids was really my go-to to help me figure out, okay, how do I get Joshua approved for this? Because once he was approved for that, it made such a difference for our family. And then a lot more resources really opened up for that. So that's been a huge resource for me. And then one that we've always loved is Gigi's Playhouse. So Gigi's Playhouse is specific for people with Down syndrome. They have them all over the nation, in the US. And I actually think they just opened some international locations as well. But Gigi's Playhouse is, they're free programs, which is awesome. They take donations and different things like that. They do fundraisers, et cetera, to fund it. But Joshua, since he was about 4 months old, went to the San Diego Gigi's Playhouse and he did music therapy. And we loved music therapy. He had a bunch of little friends who were right around his same age, and they'd play with musical instruments. They'd work on developmental milestones and all sorts of different things. So we loved Gigi's. And then of course they offer tons of different programs. Like they have like Karate Kids and they have cooking classes, and they have like right now the Arizona location has a Gigi Fit where they're doing like fitness programs for kids.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then it actually goes all the way up to adulthood, which is so cool. There's different, they offer like tutoring programs and stuff like that for school. Joshua was actually going there and getting speech for a while because we just were having such a hard time COVID finding a speech therapy place for him. So Gigi's actually offered free speech for him, which was so cool.
That's amazing. We just got recently a local one in Tampa, which is about 2 hours away from us, but I have a couple friends that are really involved with it down there, and they love it for socializing the littles and then well into adulthood. They have like a chef thing that they do, like cooking classes, and everything they do is just so well thought out.
So is it really actually fun, like a play place though too? Because Steffi, I know you've said like you've went there on a whim. I remember you mentioning you were meeting someone there. Is it something that you have to like schedule your kids to bring them, or do you just bring them and it's...
So you didn't have to schedule them. Post-COVID, they do want you to schedule. So you can go on their website and then find your location, and then it shows all the programs on the calendar. And then yes, you can RSVP to go to different events. And this is just to make sure that it's not overly crowded.
Yeah.
But they didn't used to do that. So like music therapy, anyone could come, anyone could show. And I'm sure even if you came, they're not going to turn anybody away. So, but right now Joshua's been going to LMNOP on Wednesdays. He's there every Wednesday. They learn sign language. They do singing and books. It's kind of like a mock circle time.
Yeah.
And we're working on getting him to join the circle time more often. Like he likes to go off and kind of read his own books and play with all the toys and all that. But we do have fun. And I love that it's all kids with Down syndrome and their siblings and families. Like, I just love that he gets to be around his people. Like
I had no idea that it was all of that. Like when you used to talk about Gigi's Playhouse, I literally thought it was like a play place. Because we used to have a place out here called the Color Wheel, which I'm so bummed because she had just opened before COVID. And then it just didn't make it, obviously, once COVID hit and no one could go there. But it was like a specific play area just for children on the spectrum. And it was awesome. That's cool. It was like, it was awesome. So that's what I assumed Gigi's was, but.
So Gigi's has all different types of locations. So you can do like a pop-up location. Sometimes they'll rent out a space. So like our one that we went to in San Diego, it was actually at a church. And they just used that like the fellowship hall or I'm not sure what that room was, but it wasn't an actual play place, but they made it into their own
something
area for Gigi. So they brought toys and they had all sorts of different things. But this one in Phoenix is a specific Gigi's. So they built this. It's a brick and mortar building. It's theirs. They own it. I don't know if they rent the space, but they it's their space. They're not sharing it.
And
with
who's
anybody.
Gigi? Is that Gigi? The owner's like child or something?
Yeah. She's a girl with Down syndrome that it's all created after. One thing I actually really like about Gigi's Playhouse is the continuity between programming across the United States. Well, I guess internationally now. So the LMNOP program that Steffi was just talking about, if you go to the one here in Florida, in Tampa, they have that same program. Like the programming has continuity across all of the franchises, I guess. Or it's a nonprofit, but all of them.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys are lucky you have that.
Okay, so I pulled this up. So it says, this is the like how Gigi's began. It says, when my daughter Gigi was born, I thought my family's life would change forever. About an hour after she was born, the doctor suspected she had Down syndrome. Panic was welling up inside me, but I was afraid for anyone to see it. As soon as my husband and I made eye contact, I said, if anyone can handle this, we can. He agreed and said, can you imagine what better kids Isabel and Franco are going to be because of her? I knew we were going to get through this together. Don't get me wrong, we were petrified. I cannot begin to tell you the total fear and devastation I felt. Everything they were telling us about Down syndrome was so negative. Suddenly, no one had eye contact with me anymore. They kept the door to my room closed and they kept sending in the clergy. If this was happening to us already, what was life going to be like for our kids? I was so afraid to bring her home and start this new life. I remember when people first came to visit, there were hugs of sympathy, not congratulations. They would tiptoe towards the bassinet and seemed afraid to look inside to see what she would look like. Then when they finally mustered up the courage to look, they saw this beautiful little baby and they were shocked. They always exclaimed, "Oh my gosh, she's adorable." I really don't know what they were expecting to see, but finally people started to realize she was just a baby. So that's kind of how, like, her motivation behind starting it. And then it kind of goes on. You can go to the Gigi's Playhouse website and there's like a whole about page and it talks about the playhouses and
yeah, it sounds amazing. I had no idea it had all of that to offer.
Yeah. And I love too, I feel like they have a lot of adult programs, which is really cool. I feel like a lot of programs that you see are always geared towards kids.
Yeah.
But Gigi's Playhouse is geared toward, you know, tons of different ages.
I love that. Cause I feel, I mean, we've talked about this before, like, you know, even having the resources now, like I'm such a, like, I think about the future and that scares me. So it's so nice to know that there's, you know,
yeah,
people looking after babies when they're grown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we love Gigi's. We're a big, big advocate for them. And Joshy's been going since he was very little. So yeah, those are kind of our biggest ones. The DDD, Altex, Gigi's Playhouse, Raising Special Kids. You know, I'm sure as time goes on, we'll find more resources down the road. Yeah. But right now, those have been like the big essentials for us. So Paige, I'm curious, you're over in Florida. What are some of your big resources that have helped you along the way?
So we have a lot of resources. I wouldn't say from like a Medicaid standpoint, it's really hard to qualify for. But on the flip side of that, there are just a lot of resources available. We have two nonprofits here in Florida. And the first one that I'll mention is the Down Syndrome Foundation of Florida. And they cover most of Florida. And then we have the Down Syndrome Association of Central Florida, the DSACF, which covers Central Florida. So it's pretty much the Orlando area. The second one covers. And so between the two of them, they really have the Down Syndrome community covered with resources as far as seminars go, webinars, in-person events, play groups. There's actually a camp going on right now called the I Can Bike Camp. And it's I Can Ride. And so they're teaching kids and adults with Down syndrome how to ride bikes because it actually helps executive brain function and the neurological pathways in the brain. So in addition to just being able to ride a bike, there's some actual benefits from it neurologically. So they do really awesome things like that for like through adulthood. And then there's like little clubs that they have that the kids kind of feel like, you know, they're growing up, they're too big for a playgroup and they're, you know, not quite adults yet. And so they've always been really good between both organizations at making sure there is enough programming. Of course, COVID, when all that happened, everything went virtual. So I think we're just trying to find our footing again and seeing like how in-person events are going to go, because in our experience with Tristan, at least virtual programming and virtual events were a disaster. So I could not wait to get back in person. So that's one specifically for Down syndrome. And then we have across the state of Florida, the I'm going to try not to butcher this, the FND, the Family Network on Disabilities. And so this company, this program covers all of Florida and all disabilities. So they just have lists of resources. They work with you on IEPs and getting involved. Like on their website right now, they have FND University, a transition toolkit, special education, downloadable resources, digital libraries, family special healthcare needs resources, archive webinars, tip sheets. And that's just the Family Network on Disabilities. And then we also have Nathaniel's Hope, who is, this is like an organization that puts on events, and they have programs that celebrate kids with disabilities, and they call kids with disabilities their VIPs, which I think is just so stinking cute. And they just did a drive-through safari because of COVID. They usually have an event called Make Them Smile. And they have this in Ohio as well, in Lake Geneva. I'm looking at their website right now. And so it's called Buddy Break, Be a Friend Break. They have all kinds of different programs. And I love this company, and I love this, what they're doing, trying to create a space where there are events within the community for our children and also events that are tailored specifically for them.
So cool.
And we had so much fun when we had done the last event around Lake Eola, where they had a bunch of booths, and they also provide resources at these booths. So families can get to meet different therapy centers, and they can meet different doctors or different just companies that support people with disabilities. So you're supporting a company, and you're engaging with a company that also supports our children. So that was something really neat. And then there's another one. Another website called thekidsclub.com, and they have tons of resources and summer camps, medical nursing stuff, education and development, nutritional stuff, physical and social programs, and they are kind of all over. So they are in Florida and then also in like Kentucky, I want to say. I'm not quite sure, but I do know they're in Florida. And then another one for us is the Agency for Persons with Disabilities, also called APD. They work with local communities and private providers to support people who have developmental disabilities and their families in living, learning, and working in their communities. APD also provides assistance in identifying the needs of people with developmental disabilities for supports and services so they can reach their full potential. That is a direct quote from their website, which I just think is worded so beautifully.
Love it. Okay, so I was going to say, I just pulled this up because it's actually in Utah, but I had a mom tell me about it whenever I was working with her daughter. And it kind of sounded similar to the program that you mentioned. So this one is called the NAC. It's in Utah, and it's the website is called discovernac.org. And it's basically designed for people with disabilities. And they teach them how to do things like river rafting, paddle sports, rock climbing. They host like camping family events. Yeah, so you could go out there for the summer and like do like a 1 week like class or something. They do hiking, cycling, horseback riding, rock climbing, like all sorts of sports, basically.
So fun.
Yeah. Anything sports related. And they'll teach your child how to do it. Skiing and snowboarding. That's a big one in Utah. But they'll teach them how to do that. And then they also host like camping family trips and stuff like that. But I wanted to throw that in there because it sounded really similar to the one that you mentioned in Florida. But this is in Utah, and you can go pick all sorts of different classes. But the mom that I was talking to, who told me about it, had took her daughter on a camping trip. And she was like, it was just so nice because every single person there had a child or loved one with a disability. And so everyone just understood. And it was just so nice to be able to have all these events and fun things planned on our camping trip, but not feel like this pressure while you're there. So I just thought that was a really cool resource.
That is a really cool one too. Another one, like in, so the Down Syndrome Association and the Down Syndrome Foundation here, they do plan events too, where they actually have a camping one in November, which is always right around my birthday. And it's always a little chillier. So we like kind of don't like go to it, but I think this year, I think we'll try to go this year because
is your chilly like 80 degrees?
I mean, yes, I live in Florida.
That's how mine is too. Like if it drops to 70, here.
If it's like 72, I consider that chilly.
Yeah.
We're going to probably be in the 30s in November over here.
I couldn't do it.
So
when we go to Cali, it's like 60. I'm like freezing my butt off. Nope.
Yeah. That's too cold for me. And it's on the beach too. So it's camping on the beach.
Yeah.
So you have that like that draftiness.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to try to probably go this year. Because Tristan's at an age where he, and I'm killing Sarah with my cold 72 degrees.
It's fine.
The drafty beach.
I'm dying.
Tell me your high maintenance without telling me your high maintenance.
And you know what's the funniest part about all of this is I was born and raised on an island.
Yeah, I'm from, the Chicago Caribbean. This winter.
I do love snow, though. I mean, I still live in Chicago, so like I love the snow, but I don't want to live there.
Yeah, me either.
Can't live in it, but snow I do love visiting.
Snow is fun for a quick day trip.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
No, thank you.
I agree.
Poor Sarah.
It's fine.
Okay, well, there's a few more I want to just touch on really quickly. There's, like I said, there's so many resources here in Florida. And I don't know if it's because we've been so involved in the community that we've been able to find it. So I definitely want to encourage families that are listening to get involved and ask questions and contact their local, if you have a young child, contact your birth to three program, because that does exist in all 50 states. So when you contact them, they will for sure point you in the direction of some of these resources that are for your state. So you can call, like in the hospital, you can ask the social worker in the hospital that works with you when your child gets that diagnosis at birth or gets a karyotype. You can ask your genetic counselor. You can ask your pediatrician to connect you with that. You can Google birth to three program Arizona, birth to three program Florida, birth to three program Chicago, Illinois, Wisconsin, whatever the state is that you live in. And I'm 99.9% sure it will pop up in some capacity. It'll be the .gov or the .state or .org. Okay, so another one I wanted to touch on really quickly is the Arc of Florida, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to improve the quality of life for persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They work with local, state, and national partners and advocates for people with intellectual disabilities, autism, spina bifida, cerebral palsy, Prader-Willi syndrome, and other developmental disabilities to be fully included in all aspects of their community. They provide therapy services if your insurance doesn't cover it, if you don't have insurance, if your insurance is just giving you a hard time. And they do so without regards to the income you make. If it's something that your child needs that you're unable to get for your child, whether or not, because a lot of families I've noticed may not be making tons of money, but they make enough money to pay their bills and live comfortably. But then when you put into account that, say, ABA therapy is $65 for an hour and your child needs 35 hours a week, those bills are astronomical. So those aren't yep. things you can actually provide to your child, even though you are above the poverty line for whatever the state is that you live in. So a lot of these nonprofits across the country, they actually help you without having to make you feel guilty for not being able to provide that for your child. And so just like the Arc of Florida, they partner with national partners. And so there aren't other organizations throughout the 50 states. And you can always Google, which I'm not a huge Google fan these days, but you can always Google grants for what, like you can type in the state name that you live in and type in assistance and resources for the specific disability you're looking at. And it'll start leading you down a rabbit hole where you can, you know, find different resources that way too.
It sounds like you have some great resources out in Florida too. And you did obviously mention, I was curious if you guys had like some of the same, but obviously you had mentioned Gigi's is one of the ones that you guys have that would be the same.
Yeah, I think it's the only one.
I'm sure a lot of them are similar, but just like different names. Yeah.
What about Special Olympics? We didn't mention that. I have several friends who use have done Special Olympics for anything from basketball to track to swimming, and they love it. So, and I think that's available. Is it every state? I know it's all over.
I know I've heard of it here. I'm not like involved with it at all. But I would think Josh is still a little.
Yeah, I think Josh was still a little bit too small, but one of the very first families that we met who had a son with Down syndrome, actually, that was one of their big resources that they suggested as he gets older.
Yeah, a lot of our friends that we just saw recently at a going away party, they all did Special Olympics and they just did equestrian and they both placed really well. So that is, it's a resource that is available in more metropolitan areas across the country from what I was told. Unfortunately, at the time that I had talked to them, it was not available across the state of Florida, just in the more metropolitan areas.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know where ours would be located out here either, but I should look into it. So when it comes to Lane's Fragile X diagnosis, I don't have like a ton of resources. I feel like I'm still trying to find my footing with all the resources that they have. We do have the National Fragile X Foundation, which I came across through, I think found them on Instagram. And they have plenty of resources, or connect you with, resources in the area. But I wouldn't say we have like a ton for Fragile X for autism. Our favorite is Lane goes to ABA therapy at a place called Little Friends Center for Autism. But the building as a whole is called Little Friends, and they have, I don't know which one of you was mentioning, I think Steffi, you were talking about like how they have adult programs and stuff. And that mm-hmm. same with like the Little Friends Center, they have everything. They have respite programs. They have community day programs, school programs, music therapy. They have parents nights, which is kind of like a That's group cool. therapy almost. I never got to attend them because right as I was starting to get more involved, they had to shut down, and I don't even know if they do it virtually, but I know they have just so many great programs for kids with all disabilities. That's cool. So yeah, they're one of my favorites. I know Chicago in the Chicagoland area, there's a ton of autism resources, but that's just our favorite. And they're kind of more, I'm outside the city, so they're like local to us. But yeah, those are Little Friends is definitely my favorite. And then the National Fragile X Foundation is kind of like my go-to when it comes to anything Fragile X related.
And you guys are lucky to have that really nearby in Chicago, right?
Yeah. So the Rush Fragile X Center is where Lane and Hope will go yearly for their appointments. And yeah, I mean, she always reminds me, like, when I'm like, oh, okay, we have to go to the city. It's 45 minutes away. But there's people who come there from all over the world. So, yeah, wow, we're so lucky incredible. To have. Yeah. We're
everybody cool talking about it? That.
Yeah.
How cool is it that you didn't just have one child with Fragile X, but you have two and you're so close?
Yeah.
Like, that makes it, I feel like that would just take so much stress off of me as a 100%. Mom to know, like, you know, we are so close to all these amazing doctors.
Yeah. And she's like,
so different for both of them because Hope's a girl and then Lane's a boy, right?
Right. She's, and they've been great. Like, even his genetic counselor, she's given me like the right people to talk to as far as Fragile X. And I feel like everyone's kind of like newer to Fragile X. Like, they're still doing so much research. Like, doctors in general are still like doing so much research on it. So it's, like I said, it's just like, it's hard to find resources. Yeah. Or, I don't know, programs like that are like Fragile made for X. Fragile X.
Yeah, I was going to say Fragile X too. It's hard whenever it's more of a rare diagnosis like that.
Right. So it's not like we ever go anywhere that's like specific for Fragile X. It's more like the autism resources that I feel mm-hmm. like are more available to me, which is mm-hmm. fine. And it's great. And I had mentioned earlier, we had like this place called the Color Wheel, which was awesome. I loved taking him there. You didn't have to like show proof or anything like that for your diagnosis, but it was specifically for children with autism. And I loved it because I just felt like even when he was like being rambunctious or had a meltdown, or it was just such a good place that I always felt comfortable bringing him and playing with other kids with autism. So I was really bummed that they didn't make it. And it's like my lifelong dream and goal to one day open a play place that's just like a little more sensory friendly. So I was bummed she didn't make it, but
That's
yeah, hard. Those would be like my favorites.
Yeah, we had a lot of little play gyms that we loved to bring Joshy to. He'd do like play dates and stuff there, and a good handful of them shut down with COVID.
That were like specific really to Down syndrome or just like disabilities? Not even.
Oh, just in general. For kids. Yeah, they were just like play centers. Like, especially in Arizona, it gets so hot. Like, you have to have an indoor play place. So we found one that stayed open. Yeah, so we go to that a lot. Like, at least once a month we go. And I'm like, oh, I have to support them now. Like, we have to go support them because we don't want them to shut down because several of the other ones that we used to go to shut down, which is super sad, but.
Oh, we have a really cute one out here. It's not like for special needs at all, but, and Lane loves it. Like, all my kids love it. And obviously, like with Ella being typical, it is nice to like be able to take them all to the same place. But there are times that we go to this play cafe place, which I love. It's just a really cute place. And like so comfortable for the parents too, with great coffee. So that's a huge plus.
I think I saw you post about that recently. Yeah,
it's so, it's like just aesthetically like pleasing. It's just a really pretty play place. But Lane, because like with the Fragile X, he's, you know, he can be pretty aggressive sometimes. So sometimes I just feel like I'm constantly explaining to parents, like, I'm so sorry, you know, or like he's whipping a ball at someone and he doesn't mean to. But so it was like a little safe place when we used to go to that other place, the Color Wheel, just because like you knew every parent was in the same boat. Yeah. But like I said, with Ella being typical, I probably should be a little more open to just general play places.
So we have one of the nonprofits here locally, the foundation, they have a program called a community scholarship. And so they give you a scholarship to have your child included in a community activity with their typical peers, because inclusion is so important, right? We did an episode about all about inclusion. You guys can go take a listen to that. It is in the full episode list on our Instagram. And it's just so important, you know, and that to me was one of the biggest things that helped me integrate myself and make myself more comfortable in the beginning when Tristan was little. We got the scholarship and we used it to go to my gym, which is literally jogging distance from my house. If I wanted to get on a bike and ride it, I could go, but it's Florida and it's like 100 degrees. So I get in my car and I drive. But it was just one of those places where it's kind of like what you're describing, although they don't have coffee. So maybe I should tell them they should do coffee there.
Put it on the comment card. Should add coffee.
Should have coffee. Maybe a margarita.
Yes, that would be nice too.
But they were just amazing. The owners were so sweet. And I explained to them about Tristan, people with Down syndrome need to get x-rays to rule out a lantoaxial instability, which is at the base of their neck and or the top of their spine at the base of their neck. And so it's between the age of 3 and 5. And I think it's trending more towards 5 years old to get the x-ray done. And so that's a lot of like fun that he could miss out on. So I just explained to them that until he has that x-ray done, he can't do any neck rolling, any tumbling kind of stuff. And I really personally would just like to be involved in all of it. So I can, you know, be like the helicopter mom that I want to be. And I totally was, but he was so, oh my goodness. He had such a challenge with gross motor when he was up until 2, really just up until 2. He was just struggling. And so he did need me being with him 24/7 at those kind of events and activities. But it was also good because I had the opportunity to show other moms that didn't have kids with disabilities how cool it was to be able to just be in the same space and take up the same room. And they were just fawning over his awesome head of hair that he had. And it was just like, you know, more like than different. Like they all were jealous that Tristan had such a good head of hair. And I was at the time a little, you know, jealous that their kid could sit up on their own and Tristan was still flopping over. And then, you know, they got to see him grow and get stronger and run. And we actually ended up having his second birthday party there. And we did a, let's talk about, oh gosh, Taco Tuesday theme. Yep. I don't know.
Taco Bell.
Yeah. I just butchered Taco it real Tuesday. Bad. Taco Tuesday. We did that for Joshua's second birthday too.
That's right. That was the same day. Yeah.
It was such a fun theme. And so we like went all out because for the first 2 years, they were just such a big part of our life. And we would go, I mean, I think you're only supposed to go once a week, but sometimes we would sneak in twice a week to classes because I just love that so much because they just, oh my gosh, those girls there were so sweet and they sing and everything. So I actually, while we've been talking, I found a couple of resources that we can link to the episode list episode guide.
Perfect.
What's it called? Episode guide?
The podcast notes.
We can link to the podcast notes. There we go. So, and I have some that are like by state too.
Awesome.
So I'm curious, do you guys have any specific organizations that host events like that cater to special needs families?
Not yet, but hopefully Tulips.
Yeah.
Hopefully Tulips. We're hoping to be able to bring you guys more events here soon too. Some that are catered for just the parents.
The Nathaniel's Hope, they do events that are catered specifically for the VIPs, like I talked about earlier. So that would be one that's specific to that. But as far as the autism stuff for me goes, I'm still trying to figure out how Tristan fits into that.
Yeah.
Aside from like doing the therapy that we've been doing, which has been amazing, and they've just been absolutely incredible. But other than that, I have not come across any other organizations beside the foundation here and the association and Nathaniel's Hope.
Okay. So we have this one out here in, well, I'll say Chicago, even though we're kind of like the Western suburbs. But this woman, and now she's a good friend of mine, Stephanie Thompson, she started this special needs mom squad. So her son has autism, and I don't even know, to be honest, how I have to like think about how I first, I think I, someone mentioned me in like a Facebook post or something, and she rented out this movie theater for kids. And that was like something I was like dying to do, was like take Lane to a movie, even though it's hard with any toddler, but I'm like, that would be really difficult with Lane. But I really wanted him to be able to like go to the movie theater and see a movie. And that was just like one of the things that I was like, will I ever be able to do that? So I came across this event and I was like, oh, this is just for children with special needs, like all disabilities. And it was awesome. She like provided like popcorn, a juice box. You had your ticket. She had like these wiggle seats that you could get if you needed to. And it was, you felt so comfortable. I met so many other moms there. And actually, as I was walking out, she gave me this brochure and it said, you know, that she, you know, hosts all these different events. And then on the back, it had mentioned that she's also like a special needs financial advisor. So hopefully, well, we're hoping to get her on an episode to talk about that too. But
that'd be amazing.
It was awesome. She was just like a mom that started this. And so this is just like an example, like this little park over by us does this Polar Express thing, like a Polar Express ride for Christmas. That's something I would generally want to take my kids to, but I'm like, oh man, like if there's a wait or if Lane has to, you know, whatever, wait in a line or just too many people, it would be difficult for him. So she talks to the places and usually like can get them to open it a night early for special needs families. And it's amazing. And we always gravitate towards her events because it's just easier on everyone. And that's actually awesome. I mean, it's easier on Ella too, because then it's like, we're not dealing with her brother having a meltdown. And
You're more relaxed because everybody else is in a similar boat as you and more understanding than somebody that doesn't have that experience that we're having.
Yeah. So she either does it like an hour before the actual event or a night before, but she's amazing. And her whole like organization that she started is amazing. I think they were on the news once too, when she did this whole Frozen, we all got to go see the Frozen movie, like all these special needs families. So she's
awesome. Oh my gosh. We took Tristan to see Frozen 2, and I was nervous, to say the least.
Yeah.
And the theater was full, but there were other little kids there that were already, like, screaming, and they were jacked up on sugar. Yeah. So I was like, this is fine. They're already freaking out, and the movie hasn't started. And surprisingly enough, Tristan was so upset that they were being loud. He kept telling them to shush. And we were, like, cracking up. He was like, shh, shh, and getting so upset. And we're like, it's okay, buddy. It's fine. And then he wanted to stay till the very end where, oh my gosh, that guy that was on American Idol, Adam. I forget what his name is, but he sings the end song in the Frozen 2 soundtrack and Tristan loved it. So we stayed to watch all the credits, but sometimes, you know, you do get surprised, but I would definitely have preferred an event, like you were saying, that was specifically catered to us, because I just feel more relaxed being in that space, knowing that it's, no one's going to yell at you or like give you the eye.
Yeah. Just your kid's acting out. And then honestly, it's a great way to meet other parents too. Like literally Lane walks up to this little boy and stole his Buzz Lightyear toy. And then it was like, I had to go deal with that. But, and I was like, oh, hey, you know what? My name's Sarah, and like met another mom. And now she's one of my, like, my close friends, and we do play dates with our boys. And it's just a good opportunity for everyone.
We're going through the not sharing phase. And I actually took Joshua to that play gym I was talking about earlier. And I honestly thought it was just him. Like, oh, he's just really bad at sharing. Like, he just snatches toys anytime Jackson's playing with a toy, like literally baby toys that he hasn't played with in like years, goes up and snatches them. Suddenly he's like all into the baby toys.
That's like, oh my gosh, that's happening to us right now. Tristan's
it's crazy. Yeah. So we took him to this play gym. And I kid you not, every single kid his age was just like snatching toys out of each other's hands and running with
them. And you're like, okay, so this is the common. Toy.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yep. This is just typical.
Yeah, for sure.
I know. It's hard sometimes because you never know what is typical behavior right. and what is your child like having
diagnosis related.
Symptoms. Yep. Yeah, symptoms of their disability. And for us, it's funny to see Ezra and Ezra's been a part of like a lot of Tristan's therapy that we've been having at home with the behavior stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he's been getting super involved with all of that. And I just think like how awesome it is because now when we say, hey, are you making a good choice? He goes, no, I'm sorry. And I'm like, what?
Sorry.
You're 1 year old. No, I'm sorry. Or he'll like start screaming at me and I'll be like, Ezra. And he'll, sorry. And he even will start screaming and go, no, I'm sorry. Before like he's starting to understand it faster. Yeah. I'm like, you can see like the devil on his shoulder and the angel on his shoulder. And it's just like this constant struggle. But it's cool to see him like grow from the resources that we found for Tristan.
Yeah.
And be a part of it. Resources. He is benefiting and he's growing so much. And so obviously Tristan is, but just to see the ripple effect on the siblings, I think is just amazing.
Oh, LMNOP, when we go to Gigi's, Jackson just started, like, he just turned 7 months and now he's like finally sitting like really good by himself. He will sit and just watch everybody in the circle, like loves everybody singing. He's just so happy. Joshy's like off playing with his books or whatever, but I'm like, this is totally benefiting Jackson too. And I love
that. Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of parents, when we used to do the play groups at the association when Tristan was little, would bring in their siblings as well because the parents would bring in their other children, the child with the disabilities sibling. And it would be really cool to see like that interaction. And for me, it kind of made my heart a little less anxious about the possibility of having another child because although it was their like second or third child that ended up having Down syndrome, they had already been through this experience of being a parent and they're, you know, it might be tough, but they were doing it. And for me, it was just so beneficial. So it not only, it just benefits everybody. Inclusion just benefits everybody when it comes to this stuff.
For sure.
Amen.
Do either of you do any respite programs?
Mama needs a respite. No, yes.
I was in Steffi, you do, right?
We Didn't do. We just started it.
Yeah, I never have. So I'm curious to hear, Steffi, about your experience with it.
Well, so it's been really good because right now we have Jordan's younger sister, Jenna.
That's right. Who we met.
Yeah, so
it's
family.
Yeah, we met her. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so she's family. She loves Joshua. She has such good rapport with him. It's been really nice because we're very flexible with the schedule. Like, it's just nice having a family member, which you can definitely ask your respite provider if you have a family member like mom or, you know, whoever that wants to step in or grandma or what, you know, whatever it is.
Really quick, can you just explain to some people who might not know like what respite?
Yeah. Like what? So respite's basically a babysitter. It's a chance for somebody that is trained to work with people with special needs or disabilities, to come in and basically give the parents a break. So if you have raised
a child with a disability,
yes, you know that it can be exhausting.
It's much needed.
It is. So it's just a chance to give you a break. So sometimes Jen comes over for a date night on like a Saturday night. Jordan and I drop Jax off at my parents. She'll watch Joshua for the night and we'll go on a date night. Sometimes it's her coming over like summer. She's been doing a lot of morning hours because Joshua's not in school. So she comes over and does arts and crafts and plays with him. Not really outside because it's too hot now, but plays with him, comes up with fun activities, keeps him entertained. I can get some stuff done, laundry, you know, whatever I need to do. So it's really just a chance to give the parents a break. So
now will she be with Jackson too?
No, so because
it's just
supposed to
be geared right towards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's for that child. I know some people, like I remember whenever I used to do a program with a child with autism, the mom had respite for her son and they would actually pay a little extra for like for a date night or whatever to watch the other child. So, you know, I don't know what other policies are now, but that was several years ago, but they would pay her like a little extra to watch both kids. So yeah, that was nice. But my parents live down the street, so they'll watch Jax for us usually, or something like that. And then Jenna will watch Joshua for us so that we can go get something done, or I can go grocery shopping really quick or whatever.
But so did you get her through, like, I obviously know she's related to Jordan, but like, did you have to go through a specific organization to get her? Does that make sense?
So when we qualified for long-term care for Joshua, they automatically asked me if we would like respite. So I was like, sure, we'd love respite. Like, why not? So then they tell you, oh, this is how many hours based off his diagnosis and his evaluation that he can qualify for. So he actually gets quite a bit. And I know they upped it during COVID to give parents more of a break with schools being out and all that. So we had told the respite provider, because I think they're very understaffed right now too, which is hard. So we told her that we have someone and that we'd really only like to work with them for now. So they brought Jenna on, trained her, went through the hiring process with her, and then she was able to start with us. So,
wow.
Yeah. Worked out really nice.
Yeah. I've never, I know Little Friends, the place that I was talking about where we bring Lane, they have a respite program. I'm not sure. I've always like wanted to look into it, and then I don't know why, but I always just like feel I don't know. I always just like hesitate to do it. And then also obviously I have Ella. So I don't know how that's why I was asking you, Steffi. I don't know exactly how it works.
But you could take her grocery shopping with you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how that would work too, since you have two kids. They might bring in two different respite providers. So one, so that they can be one-on-one. But you could probably schedule them, you know, for a similar time.
Yeah, I definitely have to look into it.
Yeah, I even like it. Sometimes I just stay home and I'll just spend a little time with Jax. Like sometimes it's nice to just get that one-on-one time with him too.
And Paige, you said you don't, right? You don't do anything with respite.
No, we don't, because we have my mom here. And so she's usually able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I have been thinking about it more because I do want to find someone that's qualified to work with Tristan, considering now that we for sure know he has the dual diagnosis of autism, and there are those safety things that he just doesn't quite grasp just yet, but I know he will. Just at this time, I don't feel comfortable just hiring any babysitter. So I think it's something that I'm definitely wanting to look into now. So if we want to go do something with my mom or one of our moms, we could actually go do that as a family.
Yeah.
But you could have your mom go on to one of the respite providers, and she doesn't have to work with other families. Like she could just work with you guys and get paid to watch him.
Oh yeah. That's definitely something to look into. I didn't know how that all of it works. Exactly.
Jenna was babysitting for us prior, and we were just kind of paying her a little bit out of pocket. It was super cheap because she was family. She was like, I'll just do it because I love him. But so once she was able to get brought on, we didn't have to pay her out of pocket anymore because she's getting paid through the respite company. So your mom,
that's so nice too.
And they give her some training too, which is cool.
Awesome. That's a really good idea. Paige, you brought up a good point, like just about, I've always thought about that too. I'm like, I wish there was some kind of program, which I guess would be respite. And like I said, I definitely have to look into like all the guidelines and whatnot. And I didn't even realize that like with a respite program, they could do like weekends or like a date night. I thought it had to be like specific times and specific days.
Every week.
Wow. Yeah. I'm definitely going to look into it now that you said that. But I always am like, there should be like a program that has like a bunch of babysitters that are just capable and like trained, because Paige, I'm with you. Like it is, I mean, thankfully we have, my husband's family is wonderful and they help us so much with our, like all three kids. But I mean, there's some nights where I'm like, we just want to like go grab a burger or a beer or just like go out for a teeny bit. And I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to relax because I'd be worried about like someone taking care of my kids, you know?
I do know on care.com. They can put if they have like experience working with kids with special needs or disabilities and stuff. So back before, you know, like college job, like I was on care.com and that's how I had a mom, because I put that I loved working with kids with autism. I had some training. I did some like practicum hours in the classrooms and stuff like that. So she contacted me to watch her son with autism. So that's kind of how I had got involved in all that, which was cool.
Well, that's good, useful information too, because I didn't know that.
Okay, guys. So we did do our question sticker. We had a few questions come in that we wanted to answer. So the first one, I'm going to pull it up really quick here, said, we just got a prenatal diagnosis. What are the first steps to take? So definitely go back to our, what was it, our first episode or second episode that we ever recorded on the podcast, because we go into second. We go into like great depth about the process, like what to do. But to put it simply, when you're in the hospital, a social worker should come talk to you. If they don't, you should ask for one, because they should give you resources, whatever's in your local area. So for me, I was in California. The social worker gave me a whole packet on regional center, said to call regional center. So that's what I did. And then from there, regional center was able to get me started with where I needed to be for my area. So that was kind of my starting point, really. How about you girls? Anything different?
Well, obviously mine, I didn't find out until Lane was two. So our neurologist gave me the next step. So he had just given me the number for a genetic counselor. And then once I went downtown to rush the Fragile X Center, that doctor, the neurologist, then also gave me additional resources. And honestly, I did Google a lot myself too in the area. So, but yeah, for the most part, like, and even my son's pediatrician had some great resources as well. So you can always start there.
Yeah. It was our social worker too, that introduced us to the CEO of the Down Syndrome Association of Central Florida. And she really helped me feel more comfortable with everything that was going on with our diagnosis and advocating for Tristan. And so I'm also a chronic researcher and I am nuts with that kind of stuff. So if somebody tells me that there's a whole bunch of resources out there, you just have to do the work and, you know, find what fits your family. I took that and I ran with it, and I was able to find stuff that worked for us and a lot of the ones that I talked about here. And then also some other ones that are a little bit more minor, but still pretty helpful. And between the social worker and the early intervention program and the local nonprofits, I think we had it all covered pretty much up until now with the new autism diagnosis. So I have to start all over again with it.
Okay. So the next sticker question is, what would be one specific resource you feel like your area lacks, or just something you'd want to see more of? Steffi, you want to start?
Sure. Oh gosh, I have to think about this one for a minute. I think maybe in my area specifically would be more ways for like the parents to get involved with each other, like finding, I guess,
yes,
community. Like
that's
I feel
a good
like
answer.
Yeah, like I feel like Gigi's, I go to Gigi's, which I love. And you get to meet the parents, but then from there, it's kind of your responsibility to like make that move. And like, if you're kind of an introvert, like I'm an introvert extrovert. So it's like awkward for me to be like, hey, want to be my friend? Like,
yeah,
let's get your phone number, you know? Yeah. So
you definitely, you're right. You have to make that like initial, like someone's got to be the one.
So something would be cool if somebody would plan something, which I think is kind of our motivation behind Tulips. Like we want to start planning some of that stuff where like, it's really for the parents that can get together. And then some events that are for the whole family, some events that are for the kids, you know, so just a variety of things, but I guess more ways to get involved and like build that connection for everybody. Because when our child gets a diagnosis, you know, while it's specifically their journey through the diagnosis, it's also ours in raising them. And
absolutely.
So I think finding connection with that.
Yeah, I mean, a special needs mom mixer. I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But something for the dads too. Like I feel like the dads need to find connection. Just everybody kind of involved with them and the loved ones, like finding connection, you know, siblings.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that was a great answer. I'm not even going to try and top that one. I'm just going to steal yours. And I'm going to say perfect. I second that. Okay, well, guys, we are out of time, but a big thank you to everyone who tuned into this episode, and we have more great content in store for all of you in the next coming weeks.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, guys.